Well, good morning. Hey, we are so incredibly excited that you guys are here this morning to help us kick off this brand new series that we are calling Mastermind. And as I laid out just a little bit earlier, over the course of the next 4 weeks, as we move through the month of March, we are going to be looking at this topic that every single one of us, whether we like to admit it or not, deal with and struggle with on a daily basis. You see, when we look at our minds and our thought life, what we would acknowledge if we look close enough is this truth. Our minds are incredibly complicated. But in the midst of those complications, what we can also acknowledge to be truth is this, is that our minds are also ridiculously powerful. The things that we think, the things that we struggle with in our minds, they can cause us to do some pretty incredible or some pretty poor things with our choices and our decisions on a daily basis. And for so many of us in this room, when it comes to our minds and our thought life, what we hate to admit, but what we know is true, what's happening beneath the surface is this struggle with thoughts of worry and anxiety and negative thoughts. And depression, and anger, and fear. And day by day, week by week, month by month, it seems like those same thoughts just keep flooding into our lives. We've tried to do something about it. We've wished it away. And yet time and time again, the things that we don't want in our life, the things that we don't want to think, the things that we don't want to struggle with, they just remain there. And in the midst of that struggle, what so many of us feel is this. So many of us feel stuck, right? So many of us have been stuck in that place and that battle in our minds for so long that we've bought into the lie that there's nothing we can do about it. That this is just something we're going to have to deal with to this extent for the rest of our life. And we've listened to the enemy tell us time and time again, if there was something you could do about that, you would have done it by now. And so it's time to just give in. It's time to just reserve yourself to this is how your life is going to be. This is how miserable you're going to feel from here on out because of the thoughts that you struggle with on a daily basis. But here's the good news of this series. What if that just wasn't true? What if better was possible with our minds? What if for so long we've had this feeling that we've hated, like we're losing control of our minds and we're no longer the masters of our thoughts? What if there was a way to regain that control, to move back into the driver's seat and to stop allowing those things that we hate that have been there for so long, to stop allowing those things to control us? What if it was possible for us to become the masters of our mind that we were created to be? And here's the ultimate good news. That's exactly what God wants for you. That's exactly how he has designed us to do life. That we weren't meant to be held captive by our thoughts and the negative things that run through our mind every single day. We have a God who wants so much better and is fighting for so much better for us in our thought life because he knows how powerful they can be and he knows how detrimental they can be in our lives. It's the reason that I love that song that we just sang. Because oftentimes, in order for us to get to a place where we can move forward, especially in our minds, what we have to realize is this, is that in this middle ground that we find ourselves in, right here in the middle, you haven't been forsaken. You haven't been abandoned. That God is still right in the middle of all of that junk trying to pull you through. And you see, what's so incredible about what we're going to discover through this series, if you've been around Core for any amount of time, you've heard me say this once or twice or maybe 100 times, is that we have a God who knows the very things that we are going to struggle with in our lives. And what he chose to do was this. In knowing that we would struggle with those things in our life, he chose to write about them. In his love letter to you and to I, he said, I know all of humanity for all of time is going to struggle with some of these things in their life. And my son, he's going to come and he's going to say things like, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, things will get hard. And what I know is this, when things get hard, that can wreak havoc on your mind. And so what I want you to know is this, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of the path and the journey that you have been on that's taken you down a road in your thought life that you didn't want to go on, there is a way out. And let me show you what that way out is. Isn't that so cool? That we have a God that was his design in this. To show you how much I love you. By showing you that I want to give you life and life to the full. I want to give you a rich and satisfying life. And I know that's impossible with the negative thoughts that are bouncing around in your head day after day after day. And so I want to help you with that. I want to link arms with you. I know you feel like you've fallen on the ground, but I'm reaching out wanting to help you back up. And in light of that, it's the reason why we get guys like Paul who write about this battle that's taking place in our mind, who prepares us for what's going to happen in our thought life, and then sets the table with, but here is how we combat that. Here is what we can do about that. And so this morning, we're going to jump into one of those very passages to kick off this series. We're going to jump into the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you haven't done so already, this is my weekly PSA to remind you that you can grab your weekly right now and you can crack that open. It's what you got when you came in this morning, and inside what you'll find is this. You'll find a notes page that we've designed specifically for you, that you can follow along as we move through the text. You can fill in the blanks. And here's what I want to challenge you with. For some of y'all, you've been coming for a while and you're like, that's not my style. I just check it out as it pops up on the screen. That's totally fine. But there's one element of today's message that I feel like is so foundational. It's going to be something that I'm going to ask you to work through. And so I would challenge every single one of us in this room, if we have a weekly, to pull out our notes page right now, just simply in preparation for that activity and that movement that we are going to go through. But as we look at this passage from Paul about what's happening in our minds and how we prepare for that, this is what he writes starting in verse 3. Here's what it says. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, here's the hope, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. Ever found yourself there? Like the thoughts you're battling every day, every month, every year, are these strongholds that are gripping you and you can't seem to break free from them? We have divine power to demolish those very things. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I mean, what's Paul saying here? He's setting the table with this knowledge that in our lives there will be battles that we fight in our mind. And in the midst of those battles in our mind, we have the strongest weapon at our disposal. We don't have to fight this battle like the rest of the world does. We have something better at our disposal that we get to use as we follow Christ. His divine power comes into our life, and what it is capable of doing is this. It breaks those strongholds, and it allows us to remove those thoughts from a place of power. You see, what I've admitted to you guys many times before, if you've had a conversation with me, you already know this to be true really quickly. I will never claim to be one of the smartest men in this room. I'm not the smartest person. And in knowing that, when I read that passage and the word pretension came out, I was like, I don't really know what that means. And so I decided, okay, I want to dig into this a little bit and get to the bottom of exactly what Paul is talking about. And so I pulled out the English dictionary and I pulled a couple of Greek lexicons to go back to the original text to uncover what that word really meant. And this is so incredibly cool. When I uncovered that word in the Greek, that word really signifies two distinct meanings. That word pretension first means that there is something that is claiming something that it does not rightfully own. Or the second definition that it gives is there is something that has been elevated to a place of power in which it should not be elevated. Isn't that so cool in light of this text? That there are thoughts that have crept into our life that have tried to take and claim control over something that they have no right to claim. We have thoughts in our life every single day that have been elevated to a place that they were never meant to be elevated to. And he responds to that word in this way. So use what you have been given to knock them out of that place in your mind. To not allow them to stay there. You see, to live the life we were created to live, we must get rid of the thoughts that are taking claim to things they were never meant to take claim to. And what's so incredibly powerful that we often overlook about our minds is this, is that the life you have is a reflection of the thoughts you think. The life you have is a reflection of the thoughts you think. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Y'all okay? Some of us look at our lives and it's not exactly what we wished it would be. And the most likely reason why that is because we are battling thoughts that we don't want to battle. If you want to change your life, change your thoughts. If you want to change your marriage, change the way you think about your spouse. If you want to change your struggle with self-image, change the way you think about yourself. Solomon says it perfectly to set the table for this truth. Check this out. In Proverbs chapter 23, he says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Your mind is in control of the direction of your life. And life is hard, and there will be roadblocks and struggles, dare I say, battles all along the way. Doesn't matter how old we are in this room, we learn that lesson from a very young age, that life is not easy, that there will be struggles and unfair circumstances that come our way day after day after day. But every single one of those battles, check this out, every single one of those battles and roadblocks and struggles that we face in our life are either won or lost in our mind. Even science and medicine get behind that notion. It's the reason why when someone is diagnosed with cancer, all of the thoughts and all of the energy that are pumped into that person surround this belief that you can fight this, you can beat this, you can overcome this, you're gonna win, this is not gonna get the best of you. Because what those doctors and those nurses know is this: if you have deemed in your mind that you are going to lose to this, most likely you are going to lose. It's the reason why in every new medication that comes out, there's a placebo in that clinical trial. Because science needs to figure out, is it actually the medicine that's making that person better, or is it just simply the belief that they are going to get better that is making them better? There's this reality in our lives that we often overlook, that our minds, our thought life is a battlefield. And if you grew up in the 80s, right now what you're thinking is, Ben, but I thought love was a battlefield. Heartache to heartache. Sorry. Our minds are in a battle for what's best for us every single day. But in order for us to fight back in that battle, maybe the first step that we have to take is this, is seeing exactly where we stand. Is seeing the places in our life where we are most vulnerable to attacks when it comes to our thought life. Seeing the thoughts that we struggle with most. See, maybe for some of us, the greatest step that we can take in order to take steps forward in this journey is to recognize these are the very places that I need to work on. And so I thought to kick off this series, the most appropriate thing that we could do together was this. It's something that I'm calling a thought audit. For us to take account of where our thoughts stand in some of these different struggles that we all have in our minds. And so whether it's right now, whether it's in the next 20 minutes as you try to do something that drowns me out, or whether it's something at some point today, I want to challenge you to move through this thought audit and in these five different areas of your thoughts, see where you stand. You see, in your thoughts, do you find yourself consistently struggling with worry? Or do you find yourself in your thought, in your mind, leaning more towards finding peace? In your thought life and in your mind, do you constantly have negative thoughts? Would those around you consider you to be a pessimist? Or a realist? That's how I describe myself. Or would they consider you to be an optimist? Do you have positive thoughts? In your thought life, are you constantly dragged down by thinking about your past mistakes? Or are you capable right now in your life and in your thought life of looking at just your present opportunities, what lies before you and how you can make that the best it can possibly be? Or are you constantly stuck in a place where you can't change it? You can't change what happened in your past, but it continues to drag you down. Do you find yourself in your thoughts and in your mind constantly stressed? Or have you found a way to be relaxed? And lastly, when it comes to your thoughts and your perspective and your mind, do you find yourself constantly thinking about all of the worldly things in your life and the unfair circumstances and the troubles that you're going through and the sickness and the things that just aren't the way that they should be? And that drags you down, or are you capable of having an eternal mindset? Having a perspective that looks further than just the right now, than just the time here on earth, that has a legacy mindset when it comes to your life and your kids and your finances? Are you just looking at what's happening in the world around you, or are you capable of seeing an entire picture of what God wants to do in and through your life that's more than just today? That's more than just your time here on earth. And for me, when I moved through this thought audit, what I was able to recognize about myself was this, is there are two points or two times in every single week of mine where my thought audit, it shifts drastically to the negative side of the scale at these two times. The first time is every Sunday afternoon after church when I go to my in-laws for lunch. I'm totally just kidding. My in-laws are here, and so they always get mad when I bring up in-law stuff, so I figured I'd throw that in there. For me, the struggle on a daily basis that always tips the scale is Thursday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. For the last 5 years, I made a commitment since I came here in preparing messages for every Sunday morning that I was not going to be a Saturday night preparer, and that I wanted to be done and I wanted everything to be finalized by the time I left the office on Thursday. And so typically Thursday afternoons are the time where I get everything squared away. There's tons of different steps I go through to prepare a message, but the final one is to sit down and get everything that I'm going to put on my table together and finalized. And you would not believe how many Thursdays these feelings of inadequacy rise up in me. How many Thursdays there's this struggle where, like, I don't want to finalize this. Where as I'm moving through it, it's like, this is not very good. And you are not very qualified to get up there. And you are probably not the best person to lead this church. And you are probably not the best person that's going to be able to make a significant difference in this city or around this world with this group of people. And you've never been a good communicator, Ben, so why are you trying that now? And I struggle with that every Thursday afternoon, and every Sunday afternoon feels like a confirmation of all of those struggles. where I look back and I assess the differences between the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock and the words that I stumbled over, and I try not to focus too much on my inadequacies in English. Some of you all English teachers in here know, and you get driven crazy every single week because I don't speak the language very well, but I struggle with going back and picking through it with a fine-tooth comb and realizing and feeling like you were right on Thursday. You shouldn't have done that. You went through a lot of stress and a lot of nerves for something that probably wasn't what you wanted it to be. And time again, in these two areas of my life, my thoughts constantly win the battle. And they constantly sway me into places that God didn't design me to be. And as I recognize that, this thought, this question came to my mind. And I hope it's a question that every single one of us in this room are wrestling with right now in this moment. What can I do about that? Because I am tired of just letting it happen. I'm tired of just accepting that that's who I am and that's the way that it's going to be for the next 25 years here at CORE. I want better than that. I want better than that for me. I want better than that for my wife. I want better than that for my kids. Frankly, I want better than that for you. Because you shouldn't be following a person who goes through that every single week, multiple times a week. What can I do about that? And as I wrestled with that question, what I recognized was this. As we move through this series, we're going to get a little bit deeper and a little bit more complicated as we go to help us unpack what it looks like to do something about this. But today, on this first day, when we're bringing up all of these bad feelings and bad directions, when you go through the thought audit, that like, yeah, I don't really like that about myself. I don't really want to go there. I don't really want to deal with it. I thought there was these really two simple things that if we just take these two simple steps at the beginning of this series, it will set the table for us to be able to go deeper and deeper to get rid of these thoughts that we don't want. To get back into a position where we can be the masters of our own minds. And so what are these first simple steps that we can take towards winning back our minds? The first is this. It's to simply identify the one thought that's holding you back. For you, there may be five, there may be seven, there may be nine. But what I want you to think about is the number one thought that is holding you back. The number one thought that you feel like does the most damage in your life on a daily or weekly or yearly basis. You see, so much of winning the battle is just identifying where the battle lies. If we show up on the wrong battlefield or don't show up on the battlefield at all, we can't win. And simply identifying where the biggest battle lies is the most important step to being able to take steps forward. If we can't do that, there's no point in going any deeper. You see, we have to be able to identify the thought that brings about the most amount of worry, the one thought that brings about the most amount of stress or anxiety or depression, that flares those negative thoughts up inside of us. What is that one thing? And here's what's so incredible. I started us down this path, and so I want to go there. For those of us who are struggling to wrap our minds around this, no pun intended, I wanted to go the scientific route for you all, because I think this is so incredibly cool, and it was so helpful and powerful to me. In order for us to change our thought life, we have to change the pathways that our thoughts are used to traveling on. In science, what they call this is neuropathways. Every time you have a thought, your thought creates a new neuropathway. It doesn't matter if it's a positive thought or a negative thought. Your mind in that thought creates a new neuropathway. And here's what's so significant about neuropathways. When you create that neuropathway, the next time you are presented with that situation and you choose to have that same thought, it becomes easier to go down that neuropathway. The neuropathway now becomes bigger. And then the next time you're faced with that circumstance, with that situation. It becomes easier again to travel down that same neural pathway and experience the same stress and anxiety and worry that you experienced the time before, maybe even to a greater extent. And the best way that I could think about it was this. Think about a giant snowstorm that happens, and everything is covered like last January with 14 inches of snow. And as you walk out your front door to go get your mail from your mailbox, you decide, I have to trudge through the snow to get there, through these 14 inches. And it's difficult the first time you walk down that path because nothing is cleared. But when you walk over that snow and you trample it down for the first time, the next time you walk out your door and you decide which direction to go, guess what? That looks like the simplest one. And so you choose to go down that path again, and you trample down the snow just a little bit more. And then the next time you walk out your front door, you decide, man, it's even easier. Why would I trudge through the snow over here and create a new path? Why not just walk that same path again? And oftentimes we do that with our minds. It doesn't matter that it's a negative thought, it becomes a habit. It becomes simple to go down that pathway. And so we just keep going down the negative pathway again and again and again. And the circumstances haven't gotten any worse. But we've gotten so used to traveling down this negative mindset that the anxiety and the depression and the worry comes crashing in almost immediately because our minds have already made up its mind that we're going down that path again. We've gone down the path 100 times and we're going to do it again because that's the easy one to go. But here's what's so incredible. Our God says, I know it's going to require hard work. But there is a way to let the snow cover back up that pathway and to trudge through a new one, to trudge through a better, healthier pathway in your life. It'll take work. It will not be comfortable at first. You will be exhausted. But I promise you that it will be worth it. Science proves this. Our brains, our minds are capable of being rewired. We are capable of not going down that neural pathway that we have created and create a new one and start making that one a habit. God has something to say about this. As Paul writes this in Romans chapter 12, he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Everybody else that you watch, they've just gotten comfortable going down the same path again and again and again. But we don't have to copy that. We can let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see, science says rewiring your mind. God says, I'm capable of renewing your mind. I want to give you something new and better from this day forward. If we want to overcome the stronghold or the lie, we have to be willing to see it and name it. Because here's the truth. This is a freebie for y'all. You cannot defeat what you cannot define. We can't defeat that thought until we call it out and we define that is the stronghold that is holding me back. That is the lie that is pushing me down again and again and again. And I'm sick of that one thing and I don't want it to be there. I'm not exactly sure what to do about it, but I'm tired of hiding from it. I'm calling it out for what it is and saying, I want to find a way to get that out. But how? What's the follow-up step once we have identified that one stronghold that's holding us back? The next step that we have to take in this simple first two steps is this. Is we have to choose to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. You see, like I said earlier, God wants what's best for you. And that means that he has created, he has spoken A truth that is in direct contrast to the lie that Satan has told you about yourself and your circumstances. The lie that he's told you about there being no way to get out. You see, here's the problem. We feel trapped. We feel stuck in a place that we are not stuck in. That there is a way out. I still remember to this day this game that my dad used to play with us. If you've heard me tell stories about my dad, you know that he was always pumping into us these acts of chivalry, and this is what you should do for your future wife, and here's where you should walk if you're walking through a parking lot or down the sidewalk to make sure that if a car gets off track that it plows through you first and not your spouse first, to make sure you open these doors, to make sure you do these things. And sometimes my dad would take his acts of chivalry like diet eating, and here's what I mean by that. He would think that they balance themselves out kind of like a Big Mac and a Diet Coke if he did something chivalrous to make up for the terrible games that he played sometimes. And this was just one example of that. I can still remember some of your fathers probably did this to you. There were many a times my dad would go get the car for the family. He would go get the car for mom and he would pull it up to the door. And many a times as he was pulling the car up to the door, as any of us would reach out for the handle, my dad would quickly push the lock button. And then you would yank on the handle and you couldn't get the door unlocked. And then he'd say, oh, I'm just kidding. And he'd hit the unlock button. And then as soon as you reached again, what would he do? Push the lock as quick as he could before you got the door open. And time again, you would be in this game where you would take your hand off, he'd push the unlock and you'd reach real quick and he'd have already hit the lock button again. And almost every single time my dad played this game with us, he got to the point where it was always at differing times, but he got to the point where he would hit the unlock button and then hit it again to make us think that he was pushing the lock button. And we would get frustrated and we would get mad and we'd bang on the windows, we'd walk away and we'd quit the game thinking there was no way we were getting into the car. And from inside the car, you can hear my dad saying, "It was unlocked the whole time. You're the crazy one. You could always get into the car." And you see, I think a lot of times we bought into the lie that the door is locked and that we can't get into where we want to get. Satan's convinced us through these games that there's no way out of this cell in your mind that you've put yourself in. But I think oftentimes what God is trying to get us to see is this incredible truth. The door has always been unlocked. I'm just waiting for you to take the step of turning the handle. I'm just waiting for you to take the step of seeing the truth instead of buying into the lies. You see, our thought life will always be centered on what God says about you and the truths he says about you, versus the lies that Satan will say to you. That's the truth of the matter. Our thought life will be a constant battle between what God says about you and what Satan says to you. So which side are we going to choose? You know, talk about a guy that battled his thought life in the midst of his mistakes and his circumstances. Talk about a guy who was around Jesus that battled this undoubtedly day in and day out. We see example after example of this guy named Peter constantly sticking his foot in his mouth from overconfidence or underconfidence and worry and anxiety. You can't do that, Jesus. You can't possibly leave. I don't even know him. I don't want anything to do with him. Here was a guy who constantly battled all of the same things that we battle on a daily basis. And in looking back on that, here is what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. What's Peter saying here? See, I think Peter's posing this question. What's your stronghold? What is it in your life, in your thought life, that you don't want to be there? For me, the thought that's holding me back is that I'm never quite good enough. I'm not the leader that's good enough to lead this place. I'm not a good enough speaker. I'm not empathetic enough. And for so many of us, the same as it is for me, the reason that these lies hold us back so well is because there is a sliver of truth to every single one of them. You see, what I realized that's so powerful when I thought about that stronghold that's holding me back, that I am never quite good enough, I will never be good enough, there's a sliver of truth to that because it is correct in every single one of those scenarios. I am never good enough on my own. But here's the good news. I don't have to do it on my own. I have a God who wants to join in on the battles with me, who provides truth in the midst of every lie that I battle on a daily basis. I don't know what yours is. Maybe yours is, I'm just too weak. I'm too weak to overcome this. In my strength, I make you strong. Maybe for you, it's that I'm just not attractive, and I don't like what I see looking back at me every single day in the mirror. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. For you, I've been living this life alone, and I've been through divorce. I've been through separation. And I don't know that I'm good enough to be in relationship. I don't know that I'll ever find someone. I'm walking through middle school or high school lonely and alone. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Everybody else in this world might turn their back on you, but the God of the universe never will. I have been linking arms with you. I draw close to the brokenhearted. Maybe for you, it's that I just can't overcome this struggle, this addiction that I have been walking through. Because of what Christ did on the cross, I have made you an overcomer. There is a truth in the midst of your struggle. There is a truth that combats every single lie. You see, Satan will pull out every trick in the book. He will try to use every weapon at his disposal to tell you something about yourself that just isn't true. But those weapons do not have to prevail. We have a God who, if we ask him, wants to jump into the battle with us. And here's what's so cool. The God I serve, he doesn't know how to lose. The God I serve, he only knows how to triumph. That's the God we have on our side. Why wouldn't I want that on my side? See, maybe today is a day for you where your step needs to be declaring this for the first time. Satan, you have been a giant in my way for far too long. And I'm sick of it. I don't want to deal with these lies anymore. And I'm not backing down from you anymore. My God, he's committed to taking every single thing that you meant for evil in my life. Every lie, every thought, every struggle. He wants to take all of that and he wants to turn it into something great. That is the God we have. That is the God who's fighting for us. Today is the first day where maybe some of us can declare, I have no room for that junk in my mind anymore. Today, I want to take steps forward in my thought life because I know that God has promised if I do, and if I'm faithful to that, when I come out the other side, I can see a victory. I can overcome this. We can do this. We can become the masters of our mind once again. Identify the stronghold and name the truth that breaks it. that's how we move forward. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, every single one of us in this room, if we were honest, would admit that there are too many days, more days than what we would like to admit, where our thoughts get the best of us. There have been too many moments where we feel beat down by stress and worry and anxiety and depression and negative thoughts. We've reserved ourselves to the lie that there's no way out. There's no way to make it better. I'm just stuck here. God, that thought isn't from you. You want something better. You promise something better. Oftentimes that better can't be done on our own. We have to invite you into the battle. The one who is bigger than all of those things, greater than every single one of those thoughts. The one who provides the truth to combat the lie. God, I am inadequate on my own. That's the great part of your love. We don't have to do it on our own. You want to jump into the battle with us and help us come out the other side seeing a victory. We thank you for that. It's in your name we pray.